You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Here's the latest news brought into your own living room.
You'll be hard to satisfy with anything less.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Talk is cheap.
Gib, gib, gib. Who is gossiping?
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This is Hi-Fi Plus.
And that's the way it is.
We'll do it live.
On 92.7 FM WMDX. Take it away, boys.
So much to talk about. Oh, man.
So little time.
I know. Yeah. I know. Misting outside.
Yes. It's drizzly and temperatures in the upper 50s, getting into the mid 70s a little bit later on today. The rain should clear out. The drizzle should go away, and we'll see a mix of clouds and some sunshine.
Currently about 58, and if you're thinking about, well, do I wear a jacket or raincoat? Do I carry an umbrella? Should I check my windshield wipers? Yes. What should I do?
What should I do?
Well, we don't have any help.
We can't help you. That's right. Okay.
Okay.
But we can help you maybe win some prizes here.
Oh,
how about a pair of Brewers tickets this time around,
all right,
John?
All right.
We get ready to announce the keyword. Do you have any keyword? Do you have any contest? Let's see. Do we have any music available? Let me just see.
Here, let's play
it. You got something?
Because it makes it sound more exciting, right? If we have a music bed underneath
all
of this.
Hang on a second. Here, let's put this music up.
As we plan.
All right. Here we go. It's time for our Text to Win contest, our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Ready? The keyword this time around, this is for a pair of Brewer tickets. Grill is the keyword. Grill. G-R-I-L-L. Grill.
Are you saying girl or grill?
No, grill. Like a, you put a hamburger on the grill, right?
You mean grill out like a...
Yeah, grill.
Like a tailgate party grill?
Yes. Do I have to show you a picture? It's a grill.
Okay.
Grill. You're grilling me about a grill.
Stretch that out a little
G-R-I-L-L.
Too far.
G-R-I-L-L. So here's what you do, okay? This is your chance to win a pair of Milwaukee Brewer club-level tickets. These are great seats. And every entry puts you into our grand prize drawing of a Wisconsin Dells getaway or a Door County getaway. It's your choice if you're the grand prize winner. As I mentioned, the keyword is grill. Download the Civic Media app. It's easy to do. Get it on your Apple or Google stores and then click on the WMDX area there. Use the text button to send that keyword grill in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. And we will notify you in a couple of days if you are the winner. All right. The word is grill.
All right. Text
by the
us
way.
And print that out.
There. You know, there's a new feature on our app, by the way. This thing that right in the middle.
Right
it
in
says
the middle.
Voice note.
Yeah.
Like you can send us a voice note.
Well, don't act
not
like
don't do it now because you want to text in the grill.
People are used to doing this. This isn't something brand new, late breaking.
But it's on our app now.
Now it is. Yes.
So you can let me test it out here. Okay. I'm just gonna push the button, try it. And,
really?
Yeah. And see what happens. We can check it later here, Dom. Okay. Send us a voice message. Tap to record. It says okay.
Okay.
Tell that Peterson fellow to shut his pie hole. Okay. I've had enough. Okay, so I'm going to submit that.
All right.
And, it must be really busy right now because of the text.
Word. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It says an error occurred while sending your voicemail. So it's probably busy.
There's too many texts coming in,
Yeah, they're coming in fast and furious. We'll try it again later. But no, it's a really cool thing.
It
We've
is.
We've been testing it out.
It's very neat.
All right, over to you, John.
All right. I want to just give a heads up to everybody out there. We talked about Palantir yesterday, and this is a story my son gave me about a week ago.
Yeah?
I finally got to it yesterday, and then all of a sudden, all day long, that story blew up. Everybody was talking about it, and now I have a few Palantir stories. And what is Palantir? It's a data mining
Palantir?
System, software that is being implanted in every one of the departments of the Trump administration so they can data mine our information and know more about us, how we vote, our medical records, what we spend money on.
That doesn't seem like a good idea.
This is Big Brother.
It is.
That's what
I'm thinking. That's completely like Animal Farm.
Yeah. So we've got... three cuts here. We've got one that we're going to feature today from Truth Matters. They had a really nice piece on it. It kind of adds to the information that you need to know about Palantir, okay? And then we've got a couple of web wisdoms on it as well. So today, and we'll start off the 7 o'clock hour with a cut for the rest of the week here. But okay, we'll start off with Truth Matters. They found some background on Palantir. This is really insane. It's a, you know, it's a Musk power grab that he and Peter Thiel, the co-founder of Palantir, have put in place. And that's why he was going in each one of the departments, Elon was, and they were actually implanting this and putting this in place in many of the departments so they could coordinate this information from department to department. It doesn't centralize it, but it allows each of the departments to be accessible to the other department if they want to know something about you and me. All right, so let's get to cut 36 here and listen to Truth Matters' version of Palantir.
Last year, Palantir CTO Shyam Sankar put out a presentation and white paper called The Defense Reformation. He cites The Last Supper, which was a secretive 1993 meeting between defense industry executives and the Deputy Secretary of Defense. Over a dozen companies walked in, and only a few walked out. That dinner is often cited as the origin of our consolidated military-industrial complex.
And to me, I think this was the definitive moment that kicked off the financialization of defense. From that point forward, it became all about buybacks and dividends and leverage ratios.
Criticizing the financialization of the defense industry, calling out stock buybacks, that doesn't sound like a defense executive. That sounds more like the exact argument about the defense industry that we have made before.
I think what's interesting to me about Palantir is how they co-opt the language of revolution.
But Sankar's argument did work on somebody. Uncle Sam. The Defense Innovation Board, an advisory group within the Department of Defense, cited Sankar's presentation multiple times in their 2024 report on why the DoD needs to divert more of their budget to emerging technology. That's giving money to Palantir. There's a reason Palantir just replaced Ford Motors in the S&P 100 in the months after Trump was elected. The Trump administration is an ideal customer for what Palantir is selling. First, there are many former Palantir employees sprinkled across the Trump administration, from inside DOGE to foreign policy advisors to high-level technology appointees. And Palantir co-founder Peter Thiel, heavily invested in the company, is also heavily invested in President Trump and Vice President Vance. He was a major campaign donor to both. Then, the stated goal of DOGE is to streamline and combine government data, which is exactly what Palantir does.
The ways that the government is defrauded is that the computer systems don't talk to each other.
And obviously, CARP is loving it.
Disruption, in the end of the day, exposes things that aren't working. There'll be ups and downs. There's a revolution. Some people can get their heads cut off. Like, you know, it's like we're expecting to see really unexpected things and to win.
And what is winning, according to Palantir? Wow. This is CTO Shyam Sankar in 2021.
Turning to government, we continue to advance our mission of becoming the U.S. government's central operating system as we extend our footprint across defense, healthcare, and civilian agencies.
Really? The government's operating system. Wow. They want everything to funnel through Palantir. Palantir already has contracts with the IRS, going through taxpayer data to save auditors time by finding the easiest audits to pursue. Now, Wired reports, DOGE will likely hire Palantir to create unified software for the entire IRS, a mega API that would allow anyone with access to view and possibly alter all IRS data in one place.
Wow.
That's all of your financial information. And they have multiple contracts with the Department of Health and Human Services, including nearly $100 million to support HHS's core administrative data and applications to manage, ingest, and access data securely across business domains. HHS's core responsibility is Medicare and Medicaid. That's control over millions of Americans' health records and their access to healthcare. So what does it mean for one contractor to have all that power, data, and taxpayer money as profit, especially as AI gets involved?
As we kind of increasingly live in a simulated world, we lose touch with reality and the human decisions that matter, and we move closer towards governance by algorithm, not only made by decisions of automated artificial intelligence systems, which is a problem, but more importantly, subject to decisions made by the people who are influencing these AI systems and creating them in order to fill an agenda for whatever their profit-seeking or control-seeking objectives are.
Oh, yeah.
And when I see DOGE kind of going into every agency and addressing the IT department first, I see it as an opportunity to try to change reality itself.
There you go.
Okay, well, you know, what could go wrong? Seems like they figured it all out.
It just seems like it's going to be a real problem. And it's scary as heck. I mean, the music certainly did add to it. but Palantir, we've got another cut coming up, a little bit shorter cuts in the next couple of days here. We'll start off each in every 7 o'clock hour with another segment of Palantir, because this, I think, is really going to change how things are dealt with in every one of the departments that are so important to the American public.
Why do they have to have the need to do all this, collect it all and have it all? They're saying, well,
small government. They believe in small government, Gordon.
Small government. It seems like even bigger government takeover stuff.
Okay, on a lighter note, I have another story to counter the depressing Palantir story.
You're lighting the load, huh?
I am going to lighten everything up here. An investigation has revealed that the Florida state-funded school vouchers were used for over 8,400 Disney, Universal, and SeaWorld tickets.
Wait, what?
Yes. We'll bring this up with Tim Slecker tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. On Busted Pencils when he's in here at 6:35. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this is WESHTV2 Investigates recently took a closer look at the guidelines for how Florida's school choice scholarship money was spent. In addition to items like TVs up to 55 inches, the Nintendo Wii, and in-home internet, tickets to some of Florida's central theme parks can also be reimbursed with your school voucher.
Well, that
that doesn't seem right, does it?
No. Is that what school vouchers are all about?
This is the law down there in Florida.
Really?
One theme park ticket or pass per student can be reimbursed for up to $299 plus tax. To receive the reimbursement, get this, families must fill out a form answering this question. What is the educational benefit of this item? There you go. I'm going to Tomorrowland. I'm going to find out what the future holds.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. What? Sure, that would be
there's always a questionnaire to everything.
There is. Mm-hmm. 8,400 students had theme park ticket reimbursements. That's quite a few.
Get this.
6,000 of those 8,400 were homeschooling kids. As opposed to scholarships for private schools, these are homeschoolers, and the parents thought, let's take them to the theme park.
Why not?
It's a field trip.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Right here.
It's a field trip.
It's using vouchers for field trips.
Makes sense to me. Okay. Well, coming up in about 15 minutes, Mike McCabe will be joining us, as he does every Wednesday. I want to remind you the key word this hour in the 7 o'clock hour. For the Scani Summer Text Win Contest, the keyword is grill. You can text us on the Civic Media app. Grill is the word. And up for grabs this time around, Brewers tickets. We'll be back with more of John and Gordy in the morning right around the corner. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy on a kind of a drizzly morning here.
Kind of, yeah.
Of 58 degrees or so.
Yeah,
but it feels warmer than that because high dew points and humidity.
Well, you and your dew point thing.
I hate you. I'm going to make everybody hate dew points after this program. High today of 77.
Okay. All right. Well, we can deal with that. But yeah, it is. It's cloudy. It's overcast. It's a little drizzle out there this morning.
We have to apologize. You know, we don't have Brittany. She's a little under the weather, so why I gave the weather forecast this time around WMDX Weather Watch. But now let's go to the phone lines and talk to Dick, who's been waiting an awful long time. Sorry about that, Dick. We had so many other things to get to, but
you know that now they're going to know that I buy cheap beer. That's the worst thing about all that intelligence they're gathering.
Yeah.
But
really? Yes.
Yeah. To the situation in the war that's going on. Yeah. Overnight now we learn that they take out a bridge in Crimea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And on this nonsense about not having the cards, I think Trump would be an easy peg in a poker game because if I was really looking at Zelensky now, I would maybe think he's playing with a stacked deck, not no cards.
Right.
He seems to have all the cards.
Yeah, yeah. And he never told Trump that he had this trick up his sleeve.
We're not going to be privy to much of that information inside the game anymore going forward, I don't think.
Yeah, that's the reason why we shouldn't have a president like this.
Exactly, but yeah. I would if anything, I'd accuse him of having a stacked deck. But in this case, I'm glad he does.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Good point.
All right, Dick, thank you.
Thank you for that call. 608-879-8255 is our number. 879-TALK.
You know, a lot of people out there want to be doctors, you know, like RFK Jr. wants to be a doctor, researcher, and medical expert, okay?
Right.
Now Ron Johnson is getting in on it, and this is truly stunning stuff. Please do not reelect this guy. My God. Okay. Ron Johnson called for the state, our state, Wisconsin, to lift its vaccine requirements for kids attending schools.
Oh, boy. Really?
Yes. Johnson took the position, same position basically of RFK Jr., saying illnesses in kids can be attended to with better hygiene and sanitation. There you go. There is the solution to all the problems. Mumps, measles.
Well, by the way, on the measles thing, that's really now an outbreak. There's more than 1,000 cases of measles in the U.S., and it's continuing to grow.
Well, apparently they're not taking their vitamin C.
Oh, sure. Well, and it's not just in kids. It's not just kids that get measles, by the way.
That's true.
Anyway, it's growing.
But thank goodness in this state, children are required to get their vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a state law.
Ron Johnson wants
Ron Johnson to knows better. He wants to get rid of that mandate because I don't know why.
By the way, a little while ago we were testing the voice note thing. Did we get another voice
note
there?
Just to see if it works for us.
I think we did, but I don't think it was your original voice note, John. Okay. I think we got it from...
All right.
It was mine, actually, but go ahead.
From Troy.
Okay, let's hear it. Can we hear it?
Yes. Yeah, let's see how it worked out.
Okay.
Right. Troy from Mount Horeb. Tell that Peterson guy to shut his yap.
Okay, thank you for that. Wow. So you can go to the Civic Media app.
It's clear as a bell.
And can we hear that again?
No.
I'd like to hear that again.
No.
Yes, let's hear it again. Go ahead, Don.
Troy from Mount Horeb. Tell that Peterson guy to shut his yap.
Okay.
All right. Well.
So if you'd like to send us a voice
to
note.
The point.
I'm thinking that's going to be a drop-in here on the show,
I think you're right.
A regular thing.
We can make that happen. Yeah. So that's on the Civic Media app. Just look for the voice note button on our WMDX site. There.
I don't think this is a good addition to our website.
I think it's perfect.
To work on this.
Okay.
All right. And you can find that on the Civic Media app. Along with the text, you can text us as well. You don't have to use the... In fact, don't use the voice.
No, I think it's... Let's
collect them and start using them against me.
Okay.
I'm feeling persecuted now.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I know you're a very sensitive guy. Can't take the criticism, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay. 28 past the hour. Want to remind you our key word this hour is grill. This you can text to us on the Civic Media app. We have Brewers tickets up for grabs, club level seats. And of course, every entry that you make puts you into the grand prize drawing of Wisconsin Dells Getaway or a Door County Getaway. Again, the key word this hour is grill. All right. And there'll be other keywords at 11 a.m. that hour, in the 2 p.m. hour, and 4 p.m. hour. You can get complete rules at civicmedia.us.
Everybody's familiar with this contest already.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to something here, a mega trick, as
just
usual.
A minute or so.
Speaker Mike Johnson posed this bit of deception. He said they've, Congressional Budget Office, always is off on their estimates. By way of example, they were off on the projections of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in the first Trump administration by $1 trillion. The problem is they do not use what we call dynamic scoring. Now,
dynamic scoring.
Now, the thing here that Mike Johnson isn't telling you that he's included the pandemic, which skews that and kind of ruins any predictions that the CBO had, because that, of course, devastated the economy at that point. And dynamic scoring is using the numbers of the budget, but it also includes other things that may improve the economy, they say. Okay. So it's not used often, but Republicans love to use it because it makes their numbers look so much better.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that.
Everybody
story.
Keeping track of this.
Okay. Yes, we are. 29 past the hour, coming up right around the corner. Mike McCabe will join us, as he does every Wednesday morning, on John and Gordy in the Morning.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
John and Gordy in the Morning.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Hey, this is Pam Yonke, the fabulous farm babe. Listen, when you vote for John and Gordy for Best of Madison, it's like voting for brats, the Packers, the Badgers, or cheese. Yeah, that's John and Gordy. Cheesy.
Yeah.
Cheesy. Yeah.
We talk about it an awful lot, too. So. Thank you, Pam.
Well, today is National Cheese Day, so it all makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
7:35, cloudy, a little bit of drizzle out there, but it looks like that's ending. We'll see some sunshine peeking through the clouds a little bit later on today. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by our friends at Madison Hearing Aid Center. They're at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison, offering fast and flexible appointments, individualized care, helping people change their lives with improving the quality of life through better hearing. Jim and Sarah will help you out if you have hearing problems. Go to their website. They've got a hearing test to get you started right there on the site, MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. That's MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. Okay. And Mike McCabe joins us, as he does every Wednesday. Yeah. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Substack author, and you have a couple of recent posts here that we're going to certainly talk about. And your latest one is A Short Little Span of Attention. Tell us about that title, specifically about the topic as well, what you're dealing with here.
Well, the title comes from a Paul Simon song, You Can Call Me Al. Mm-hmm. But the article's really about how we digest information, how information is presented to us, how our attention spans have gotten shorter and shorter and shorter over the course of time.
You're looking at me on that one.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I have a short attention span. That's why we cover so many topics on this show. I really just can't focus.
Yeah. Well, I got a birthday gift from some friends. They gave me this book that was made by the New York Times. It's a bound collection of the front page of the New York Times on my birthday, from the year of my birth to the present time.
Wow. Yeah.
And there, you know, and it was this voyage through history, the front page of the New York Times on that particular day for all the years that I've been alive.
Wow.
But I, you know, the first 30 pages or so of the book was really history of the times. And I saw this caption, this photo caption in this section of the book that said that in September of 1987, the heaviest newspaper ever was printed. It was, it was the, according to the
paper boys had a,
it was a rough day for the paper boys.
Yeah. A lot of hernias.
Because the New York Times on that day in September of 1987 was 1,612 pages.
What?
And weighed 12 pounds.
What?
Wow. In the world. A single day's newspaper was 1,612 pages. And I saw it, and it was 12 pounds, and I thought, that cannot be true.
All right.
But it was in a publication that was by the New York Times itself. Mm-hmm. I started looking up, you know, looking into this. I found a Washington Post article by a media critic of the Washington Post who also cited this one edition of the New York Times, 1,612 pages and 12 pounds. And I found other sources. I even looked at the Guinness Book of World Records, and there it was, the New York Times.
Wow.
And it was 1,612 pages.
Well, what was their intention with it? I mean, what was in that paper?
The thing is, I looked it up, and it wasn't a particularly noteworthy news day.
It was a Monday, right?
And you know, I think that's where it was wrong. The Guinness Book of World Records said it was September 13th, which was a Sunday. Okay. But the Times and the Post article and everything else said September 14th of 1987, which would have been a Monday. Which is crazy, because the Sunday paper is always bigger than the Monday paper.
Of course. Yeah,
so even right there, it just goes to show that in the news business, you always have got to be, you've always got to be clarifying, and you've always got to be revising, and you've always got to be correcting when mistakes have been made. And I think right there, probably there was a mistake. I'm guessing it was September 13th of 1987. There was this ginormous Sunday paper.
Well, let me just kind of clarify, too. I mean, for the listeners, to just imagine this. Three of those newspapers would weigh about what a bag of dog food would weigh.
It's like carrying a bag of dog food.
Yeah. Three newspapers.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine the poor kid on a bicycle lugging those things around? Yeah. And so one of the things I did is I looked up, I found this article about how often you would have to send out tweets on Twitter to provide a comparable amount of information. And I did some math because they were looking at another more recent edition of the Times when they did this calculation. So I did the math for that September 1987 edition of the Times. And what I found is that you could send out a tweet every hour around the clock. Never stop.
Wow.
Just send a tweet every hour, 7 days a week, every day of the year, for 3/4 of a century, and not tweet out as much information as was in that single day's edition of the New York Times.
Yeah.
Which says a lot about how we've changed, how the news gathering and news reporting has changed. And just what incredible detail the news was described in.
Yeah.
As recently as 1987.
Yeah, and some good sales ads, too. I'm sure the people saved a little money.
But here was the thing that really blew me away.
Yeah.
Is that I as I was researching this, really thinking that I was going to find evidence that that was an urban myth.
Yeah.
There I ran into a little artifact online from the New York Times archives that a shop foreman, somebody who was actually in the room assembling that day's paper, said again, it was 1,612 pages, it was 12 pounds, but also said there were over 2 million lines of type in that day's paper.
It's incredible.
2,030,000 lines of type in a single day's paper. And
is that similar to today?
That is way bigger than War and Peace. Way bigger than War and Peace in a single day's newspaper. Yeah. So the level of detail, there must have been a whole bunch of ads in that day's Sunday paper. But if there were really 2 million lines of type, that's, in that format, six column paper, that's, 5 to 6 words per line of type. We're talking 10 million words.
How did they set the type at that?
I was just going to say, they weren't still doing it by hand typesetting. I mean, they were using computers.
Not by 1987. Yeah. That was already been digitized.
Okay.
But, you know, you go back in the New York Times history, and they were doing... they were setting type and pouring molten metal to create the ability to print the paper on it.
Well, how much paper did they use? Well, I mean, how many was their circulation?
I was going to say the papers in those days were huge,
right?
Much
bigger format.
And one of the things they said is how the paper has shrunk over the years.
Wide the paper was.
The paper was wider. It was there were more pages, more bigger pages,
heavier paper, I think.
And there were people who would sit for the whole week and just devour the Sunday New York Times. You know, there was so much information shared. Yeah. And you know, now, you know, Twitter became a big deal because it was 140 characters, not 140 words, but 140 characters per message. And so it really goes to show in the course of a single lifetime how much journalism has changed, how much the news gathering and consumption habits of Americans have changed. And how much our attention spans have shrunk.
Well, talking to Mike McCabe here, Substack author and blogger, and also in your recent blog here, you're talking about the Washington Post publisher, Phil Graham, with just a few items of interest here about, for example, Henry Ford didn't really build the first automobile.
Correct.
Right?
There are a few others. People thought all these things were true.
Like Galileo didn't invent the telescope.
Yeah.
Right?
You got
a few others.
Well, Christopher Columbus didn't discover America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thomas Edison didn't invent the light bulb. Mm-hmm. Abner Doubleday did not invent baseball. But there was a time where all of those things were believed to be true. And I mentioned it because Phil Graham, who the former publisher of the Washington Post, has always been credited with being the very first to call news the first rough draft of history.
Yeah,
there you go. Yes.
And it was a famous Phil Graham quote. He apparently said it in a speech, I think, in 1963. But it's, you know, later it's been found that he got that line from somebody else, and it was said, it had been said for years and years.
Wow.
But he took the line from somebody else and made
something out of it.
And said it in a speech and then got credited for this. And they actually engraved this saying in cement in media museums around the country that Phil Graham had said this. And turns out that as with Edison and as with Henry Ford and as with Christopher Columbus, he wasn't actually the first to say it, which again goes to show that, you know, we always have to be questioning. We always have to then be challenging things and making sure that it actually is true. And we have to correct mistakes when those mistakes are made. That's a central principle of journalism.
Was that like the first example of patriotic indoctrination, do you think? I mean, in the 50s and 60s, come on, you know,
who did what first?
The buckled shoes, you know, the Thanksgiving, you know, with the, you know, all of this stuff. Now, you just mentioned all these things, these truisms, but, you know, we were told those things.
Yep.
It was a patriotic thing to celebrate Americans. Yep. And all of this, and see how wrong they were.
Yeah.
And if we go back to patriotic education, this is the kind of stuff we'll probably get more of.
And to me, it's very really pertinent to think about the importance of treating today's news as only the first rough draft of history.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we look at faithfully telling the story of this country and reporting history, there is an awful lot of clarification and correction that needs to be done. And we can't get to this point where we simply, again, indoctrinate people in myth, in mythology when it comes to American history. We need to teach the actual story. And teaching the actual story means continuing to explore the truthfulness of that story and making corrections as we go along.
Well, especially in the age of social media and social.
Correct.
I mean, how can you keep up with correcting the story when everybody's... pitching in their own,
making up stuff,
making
and
up their own
it out
stuff,
there.
Just tossing it into the internet. Exactly.
Now, Tom in Jackson lived my life as a paper boy. He said, I delivered the Milwaukee Journal back in the 70s. I did it in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And on Sundays, the paper could be an inch thick and heavy.
Oh, easily.
I rode a bicycle with baskets in the back, and when fully loaded, the front tire would come off the ground.
that's a hard way to ride a bicycle.
And I had like bags, paper bags that I had, you know, over each shoulder on each side of my body, and the baskets filled.
And think of the wear and tear on your body if it had been the New York Times that you were delivering. Yes.
All right. It is 7:48. We'll come back with more with Mike McCabe in just a moment on John and Gordy in the Morning. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's where the action is.
You got it.
WMDX 92.7 and John and Gordy in the Morning. Easy to contact. Just hit the old text button and let us know what you think, or the text to speak. Is that what it's called?
It's called voice note.
Voice note. Yes, do that.
Okay. Thanks for paying attention. It's a good idea.
I don't. We're talking about attention spans. We'll be talking about more of that in just a moment with Mike McKay.
Just a moment. But it's 7:53. I want to remind everybody you have about, 6 or 7 minutes to get in the text to win contest, the Scani Summer Text to Win contest for this hour. There'll be other hours. This is a statewide contest. So at 11 a.m., also 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. in those hours, we will have other words, other keywords. The keyword this hour is grill, G-R-I-L-L. And up for grabs this time around is a pair of Brewers tickets, club-level seats this time. And you also, with every entry, puts you into the grand prize drawing of a Wisconsin Dells getaway or a Door County getaway. Again, you can use the Civic Media app. It's easy to do. Just download it with the Apple or Google store. Click on the WMDX part there and use the text button. Send us the keyword grill. And good luck to you. You could be winning a pair of Brewers tickets this time around. And we will contact you in the next day or two if you are the winner. Okay?
All right, Mike. You brought up in your column and Substack the idea that Trump may need a television show in the White House in order to give him his daily briefing.
A little video briefing.
Yeah.
Because he can't read.
What an idea. You know, he's got his entire staff, his entire administration is from television.
Yeah.
You know, they could actually just create a White House TV show for us daily and have, you know, Caroline Leavitt out there with her own talk show, talking to the press.
These are the intelligence briefings, though. This is the going on in the world every day.
Once a week, right? Or,
well, it's every day.
Traditionally, they were thought to be every day.
Yeah.
But Trump doesn't take them any more than once a week, sometimes less than once a week.
True.
And so Tulsi Gabbard, the intelligence director, thought that maybe they needed to present the intelligence briefing, which usually comes like in a binder with all these, you know, with top secret documents and written descriptions of these challenges around the world. You know, but maybe they need to put it in a format that looks like a Fox News broadcast.
Of course,
to get his attention, you know. So not to stress your attention span, guys, but
right.
But this does tie in to what I was just writing about,
and
where we've gone from the New York Times being 1,612 pages on a single day to the point where the President of the United States doesn't want to pay attention to intelligence briefings, and the intelligence chief for our nation thinks that maybe we should make them look like Fox News broadcasts
to get his attention.
To get his attention and help him digest this information. And when I saw that story, I thought, this is so America 2025.
It really is. Yeah.
We've gotten to the point where, you know, and here I am writing on Substack, writing these articles, and maybe I should just turn them into something that looks like a Fox News broadcast.
You're right, exactly.
To get more people's attention. But the written word is important, and we do need people who are willing to sweat the details and to make sure those details are right, and then people need to, we need to read and we need to write.
You know, I'm just sitting there thinking, who would be the best person to provide the message? You know, Jesse Waters, maybe. You know, he sounds panicky most of the time, so that might be a good choice. Or Judge Jeanine, you never know. She's pretty boisterous when she's had a few. So
how about Maria Bartiromo? Oh, Bartiromo. Yeah. That'll get his attention.
She believes everything she's told.
I don't know.
She comes in with the right idea, and then somebody tells her something, and she instantly changes their mind.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah. But, it's just sad that it's come to this. I mean, really? I mean, this is the guy in charge. This is the leader of the free world. This is the guy. What?
Low attention span.
Yeah, we all have bad attention spans.
Yeah.
Here.
It is reflective of our culture as a whole. Yeah. You know, we can pretend like it's just the president of the United States who's like this, but it's a reflection of our culture as a whole. Mm-hmm. And we in not that long ago, we had people who were waiting anxiously for the Sunday New York Times to land on their doorstep, and they would spend the whole week just devouring the thing from beginning to end.
That's right. Well, I don't know. You know, I guess we've been accused of having a short attention span here on the program.
True.
By Catherine, who has made that point over and over and over again.
I hope you guys don't think that I wrote this article with you in mind. I really wasn't.
Now that you bring it up,
I wasn't really trying to send you a message or anything.
Okay.
But,
well, Mike, we'll have to talk about your next appearance here on the show, and maybe we'll reconsider that.
This is what happens because, this is the cell phone generation now, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. It's always distracting us. We're constantly looking at these phones. And now, the high-tech guys are saying that the phones are on their way out, and we're going to be wearing glasses now with all the information and be able to take phone calls and everything. Yeah. Everybody will be wearing glasses.
Or having brain chips installed.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, now that's a crazy one from a lot. He thinks that's how it's going to happen. But, that's going to be tough for upgrading.
It's all a part of our world. Yeah. Mike, thank you for being with us. We'll see you again next Wednesday.
Really?
I think. We'll have a little discussion after the show and see if that's true. Coming up tomorrow, Jim Santel, attorney at law, will straighten us out legally. And Tim Slecker will be discussing the latest of education.
Yeah, busted pencils.
Right. Yeah. And Stephanie Miller's coming up next. This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing remains constant since they opened the doors in 1958. Still direct to consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Two locations, east and west. Go to verlo.com. Stephanie Miller's coming up next. John, have a great day.
Gordy, same to you.
And Dom.
And many more.
Thank you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.